Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bajaj Electricals Q3 FY24 Result Conference Call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Viren. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q3 FY24 Results Conference Call of Bajaj Electricals. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Anuj Poddar, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. E.C. Prasad, CFO. Now, I hand over the call to the management for initial comments on the quarterly performance, and then we will open the floor for question-and-answer session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. This is Anuj Poddar. Thank you for joining our call this afternoon. I'll just start with a few opening comments, and then we'll move on to the question and answer there. As you've seen, it has been a relatively soft quarter, and I think that's in keeping with the overall trends of a soft consumption demand environment that we're seeing in the economy. That said, let me try and just delayer a bit of the data for you. Our consumer products business has been a bit softer with a marginal degrowth at about 8% degrowth, while the lighting business has held relatively flat despite the soft environment. In the consumer products business also, it's important that we highlight a few takeaways into the numbers. This is, if you look at it on a Y-on-Y basis, actually, it's coming off a higher base last year. Last year's base had two contributory factors that made it a high base. One is the BEE transition in the fans category, because of which there was a high liquidation of non-star rated fans in Q3. We, as a company in particular, had an exceptional Q3 last year in fans with a 64% growth, so we had an exceptionally high base in fans last year. The other contributory factor for us last year was the redemption of the RBP points that contributed upwards of 50 crore in revenue in Q3. So if you take out the impact of these two factors, actually, we've had a soft to moderate growth in the consumer products business also on the top line, Y-on-Y in Q3. Coming to the lighting business, as I shared, it is a flat to a +1% growth between the consumer lighting and the professional lighting businesses there. Within the consumer lighting, again, if I look at it from a channel mix perspective, actually, our alternate channels, which is our modern trade and online, as well as CSD, as well as exports, they've all grown well. The softness that we're witnessing is largely driven by softness in the general trade, and those channels are underperforming, and that's where we've seen degrowth, and that's resulting to cumulative degrowth that you've seen. Coming to margins, I think our margins have been softer. The impact of that is three elements. One is we've had a one-time impact of a warranty provision correction. We shall talk about that later in the call, so that's a one-time impact. Besides that, there are two ongoing impacts. One is because of a soft demand environment, there's a high level of competitive intensity and discounting that is leading to softness in the net gross margins, as well as negative operating leverage because of overall scale effects. The underlying metrics for us, which we continue to track, continue to be strong. We're happy to talk about that later in the call. Overall, strategically, we're confident in terms of what we're doing in the brand and products, some of which we've showcased in the deck, and again, we'll be happy to share more on both of these. The final point that I'll make is on the cash flow. Despite the P&L, we continue to remain very focused on cash flow. We continue to optimize the working capital in this quarter also. We've generated positive cash from operations of about 115 crore. So with that, I'll hand it back to the moderator. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead. As there is no response, I would like to take the next question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Achal Lokhande from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, team. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, can you first, from a 9 months perspective, if you could broadly talk about the category level growth, how the growth has been, let's say for fans or mixer or air coolers or, in those categories, if you could.
I can give it at appliance, fans and Morphe Richards level. So the 9 month based perspective, appliance has been an extremely, extremely low single digit degrowth. So relative almost flat. Fans has been a slightly higher single digit degrowth. I think that's largely because of this particular Q3, because of high base effect. Before Q3, fans was also in growth in the first 6 months. And Morphe Richards is single digit growth. So it's the first time we're starting to see growth in Morphe Richards since the last few months here.
And would you be able to also talk about 3Q for the similar three segments?
Sure, yeah. So in third quarter as well, it's a similar trend. Appliance is very low single-digit degrowth. Fans in this case is in the high teens degrowth because of the high base effect that I spoke about. And Morphe Richards is mid-single-digit growth.
Understood. And, the softness was across now throughout the quarter, or it was more pronounced in the beginning and then you were seeing some improvement since December, or any color on January as well?
So it was largely through the quarter, but if I had to take a very strict tweak, then, tweak on that, then it did pick up in December over, the start of the quarter. So if anything, that's not a very sharp uptick, but it is an upward movement that we've seen between October through to December. January, a little early to say. Feb will give us a clear trend. January also continue same line, but we do expect Feb, March to pick up also because, the winter has now kicked in. One other, observation we've had in Q3 is that our secondary sales have trended well ahead of primary sales. So in fact, we've built a favorable gap wherein, when primary picks up, that should be able to close the gap. That should be in our favor.
Understood. The other question I had, with respect to the margins. Now, even if we adjust for, if you could first talk about the warranty thing as to how it is, getting accounted for. And the second, adjusted for this warranty, how the margins would have looked like on a YY basis. And you also pointed out about the, high competitive intensity impacting the gross margins as well. If you could give us a sense as to what to what extent has it had impact at gross margin level for this quarter?
Sure. So first, I'll let our CFO talk of the warranty provisions.
Yeah. So Achal, this warranty insurance we brought in last year, and this was probably the first in the industry. So there was no precedence of how this was accounted for. So we and the auditors had taken a call that the premium that we are paying has to be amortized over the period of the insurance. However, after, the initial phases, we had products getting, insured at various levels throughout the months. Now, having reached a point where all our products are now insured, we had assessed this accounting once again, and we were of the view that ideally we should be charging off the entire provision instead of amortizing over the period of the insurance. So hence that is the one-time impact that you see of 21 crores. Because the insurance premium that we are paying, we're now charging off completely to the P&L.
Understood. And
on your question on the margin, so if you take out the effect of schemes, because we internally track that separately, gross margins at the FLM level have gone up by about 1.5% blended across our product categories. Then some of that has gone back in the form of schemes to trade. But at a product and category level, or if you aggregate that, it's up by about 1.5%. I think there's a mix of two aspects. One is a portfolio optimization or premiumization, and second is a improvement on COGS.
Understood. And sir, if you could update on the logistics, where are we? What I remember earlier we had talked about close to 200 to 250 basis point impact of these duplicated costs. So where are we on that journey?
So we are actually back to the levels of cost levels that we had in about Q3 last year, so we're back to that level. So the inflated cost that was there in Q4 FY23, which is JFM 23 and, you know, April, May, June 24. Sorry, April. I'm sorry, I'm mixing between calendar year and financial year. So the elevated costs that were there in the first two quarters of this calendar year because of the transition, that has all gone negated and rolled back to normal cost of logistics that we had about a year ago.
Understood. And in terms of the demand situation, how do you read from a medium to long-term perspective? I mean, the recovery has been fairly elusive for a while now. So how do we see this for the industry? If you could comment, what are the sort of lead indicators would you look at? Any comment on that, please?
So Achal, to be honest, you know, we've been calling this out since four quarters. I think others have called it out later. We are seeing weak consumer sentiment in the economy across the board, starting initially with rural, but that has built up into, you know, lower urban, lower middle class segments, okay? And I think that is manifesting itself across many consumption sectors, though there are some exceptions. For us, given that historically we've been slightly more skewed towards rural and, you know, second, third tier, etc., and the lower price segments, obviously the impact on us has been sharper. That said, as our journey towards premiumization is moving and our brand scores are improving, our focus on GTM also towards urban India has been increasing, and we continue to drive that. In the short term, while rural or the non-premium segments are, you know, facing the brunt more, obviously we are facing a slight more brunt, but we are in the process of de-risking on that. You're starting to see some of that in Morphe Richards also from this quarter onwards, and you should continue to see that on Morphe Richards, but also on the other main brands and other categories as we start to premiumize on that front. That said, how long will this continue in the future? I don't know right now. To your question on lead indicators, to me, employment or jobs, interest rates, these are a couple of lead indicators. I do think jobs are in a much better position now than they were till about 6-7 months ago. If that trajectory continues, or if it simply holds on that front, and the second lead indicator of interest rates stabilize to start coming down, I think that, to my mind, will be the trigger for consumption to come back on a structural basis. On a tactical basis, you know, the elections coming up anytime soon in the next 3-4 months, I think that should put some cash in the economy at a consumption level. So I think tactically there will be a short term blip because of elections. Structurally, I think when interest rates come down and jobs hold, we'll see a structural upside.
Understood. This is very helpful. Just one question, if I could ask, you know, in terms of the mix of premium products, if there is any way to quantify in various categories.
So, you know, at an overall level, if I look at, let's say, in fans, we don't publish the data, our overall over the last 2 years, our premiumization has been about 6 percentage point swing in our contribution between sub-economy fans to the other economy and premium fans in favor of economy and premium. Similarly, if I look at water heaters, we've had about a 2 percentage point contribution shift in favor of premium water heaters. If I look at lighting and, you know, recessed ceiling lighting, again, we've had almost about a 4 percentage point improvement there in portfolio premiumization. So we are three core segments where we were not premium at all.
Understood. I'll fall back in the queue for more follow-ups. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Achal.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Anuj Sehgal from Manus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Mr.
Yes. Yeah, I had a question on the distribution side. So, you know, Bajaj Electricals went through the whole RREP program and went into a distribution model where, you know, it was more of a pull-based model. Are you guys still continuing with that? And, you know, in the current scheme of things where things are generally slow, just wanted to get a sense of how that is faring and, you know, the whole idea of improving return on capital both for the business and also for the distributors, how is that sort of played out, let's say, in the last 12 to 18 months?
That's WIP. It's a good question. What we are now in the process of implementation, what we call RREP 2.0, which means there are certain features of the original RREP that we're retaining, but some features that we are revisiting or changing going forward to suit the current business and the future business. Okay. What I mean is, if you look at RREP, there's a whole theory of constraints on not dumping, having certain price discipline, territorial discipline. Those aspects we will continue to maintain. There are aspects where we had moved to a model where you will have a single distributor across the entire product portfolio, entire multi-category. That part we're revisiting. We think we need different distributors who can cater to or specialize in or focus on different product categories, particularly as we expand our product range and offering. So that part is something we're revisiting. Similarly, you know, in the traditional RRP, we had fared well on penetration and reach expansion, particularly into tier 2, tier 3 rural. So that benefit we are continuing. But that was also at the cost of weighted distribution, large urban counters, large value counters, which we had, you know, not been very strong in. We were under-indexed in. That was not purely because of distribution, you know, defocus, but also because our brand and products are not premium. So as we're premiumizing our brand and products, we are looking at different approaches for urban India and the large value counters. So that's an aspect we're opening up. So in summary, you know, the core of theory of constraints, pricing discipline, not dumping, we are retaining, but other aspects, you know, aligned to our business model and new product categories, premiumization, urban focus, those we are revisiting.
Okay, no, that's very helpful. And just to clarify, the reason you have to do that is because as you premiumize, you have to have a dedicated sales team for specific product segments so that they can be more effectively, they can more effectively service your large accounts. Is that the main reason?
Yes, but I'll, you know, explain that a little more qualitatively. So, for example, consumer lighting, we did not have a separate business vertical. We now have a separate business vertical, and we require separate distribution for consumer lighting. Otherwise, it does not get focused. And the way trade also functions with lighting is different from how it functions with appliances. So, in fans, you know, you have wholesale, etc. That's a large channel that we're missing out on that whole part of the trade that was not, you know, that old RREP was not conducive to that. So, we've actually opened up some of those things there. Third, when we're launching, you know, Morphe Richards next or even the NPG categories, etc., the beat plan needs to be separate because the actual end retail counters for those product categories are different from the traditional retail counters for our traditional Bajaj products. So to cater to that, we do need separate go-to-market efforts on that. In some cases, the same distributor can, you know, do justice to it. In many cases, they can't. So to actually service, in this example, I've given you consumer lighting, fans, Max, Morphe Richards, NPG, etc., we could not have continued with the existing model. So we therefore said we will, you know, revisit our distribution model in keeping with our current and future product focus areas.
Right. And my next second question is, you know, on the margin trajectory for the consumer business, you know, obviously you have laid out a roadmap of getting to double-digit margin, but, you know, we are nowhere close to that, even if we exclude the one-offs. So how should we think about the margin trajectory for the business, let's say, over the next few years?
So, you know, Anuj, good question. There's two buckets I've put it in, you know, buckets or, you know, cost aspects that are unique to us and cost aspects that are dictated by the external market. On cost aspects that are unique to us, our current investments in R&D, tooling, digital IT, etc., what we're doing, those are unique to us and those are overloaded right now. I think those will continue to mature over the next 12 to 24 months. And then when that happens, the, you know, those will start falling off faster and the ROIs on that will start kicking in. That's where there should be some margin release. So the second bucket, which is really hurting us now more than anticipated, was the external market factors, which is manifesting itself in two ways that I told you. One is, you know, discounting. I think a lot of this discounting and schemes are tactical, and therefore masking the expansion in gross margin that we otherwise enjoy. So I think as soon as markets picks up and some of these competitive tactical, you know, bottom fishing goes away, I think that will come back. And the second is pure operating leverage. Right now, it's negative operating leverage. Our internal math is, you know, we need about our cost structures, etc., 330 crores, our operating leverage starts kicking in. Right now, operating, you know, below that, about 300, 310 crores, where we are seeing the negative leverage. We have two options, either to start contracting ourselves structurally, which I don't think is in our medium-term interest. So that, therefore, we'll hold to our current model and structures, and, you know, till we start seeing some traction in the market, which we think we should in the medium term.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Agarwal from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. First question was on the kitchen appliances segment. So, meaning, you know, notwithstanding the fact that macro has been slightly muted over...
Sorry, Anirudh, not very clear. I heard you on kitchen appliances. I didn't hear after that.
Hello, is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks. So, first question was basically on the kitchen appliances segment. So, kitchen appliances, you know, notwithstanding the fact that macro has been fairly muted, all the initiatives that we've been taking, you know, over the last couple of years or so on distribution, on product and so on and so forth, don't seem to be adding up to any sort of growth for us, right? So, I mean, if you can just help de-average that in terms of, you know, how new products would have contributed, distribution expansion would have contributed, and what is the impact of the core industry growth slowdown, that will help.
So, you know, again, Anirudh, good question. I'll just be candid with you on what we're seeing on the data, and then we can conjecture on the, you know, what's happening. Yes, you know, there's clearly a slowdown in kitchen appliances in particular since the last few quarters. We're seeing that for us and also seeing for other competition where kitchen appliances are a large part of the portfolio. What we have been focusing on at product level, you know, there is a fair amount of innovation, even on a, you know, proposition of durability, etc. Our primary research on brand scores and recognition of our durability, we are seeing clear upticks on brand scores for us in kitchen appliances, as well as recognition of our products scoring higher on durability. Is that translating to monetization? No. Is that because of a weaker market? Probably. What we also believe is that conversion of our brand and product innovation into actual brand salience will take some time. So I think today we are coming in from a historical perspective where we've not enjoyed high brand salience. We've typically been price warriors, even in kitchen appliances, even if we've been players of scale. If today we're moving into value proposition innovation, that takes 2, 3, 4 years where people start recognizing us for that and start allowing us to convert that into pricing power. So in a stronger market, hopefully we should start seeing that traction. In a weaker market, today we don't have the ability to price ourselves out of a weakness of a market. Yeah.
Right. Right. Understood. And basically, you know, just related to that, if we can highlight some numbers, you know, in the distribution expansion part, you know, where would we be in terms of the number of distributors, number of retailers reach, and, you know, any other internal metrics that you would be tracking to understand where we are headed with the entire distribution expansion strategy?
So, you know, retail count on an annual basis right now is about 2,10,000. On a quarterly basis, because of, you know, some counters not being active in every quarter, that falls just under 2 lakh. At a distributor level, one sec, let me just pull out the exact number for you. Pull out the number. Yeah. Give me a second, I'll just give the distributor count. Yeah, that distributor count today is about 742. And this is again expansion, like I told you, because of are starting to move to non-exclusive distributors across different categories.
Right. And this same 742 would have been around 550, 600 couple of years back, if I remember right.
Yeah. So a couple of years back, it was that. It was about 1 year back, it was about 654.
Okay. Okay. So essentially, you're saying that, you know, we've got distributors, you know, goes up, but the retail reach essentially has not gone up. But is there any sense on the WD?
But retailer reach, to be honest, we are not looking to push that because I think marginal utility of retailer expansion is low. Our focus now has moved to WD from ND, which is to focus on the urban higher value counters where we are present, but the extraction needs to be higher. So rather than focus on, you know, just expanding, you know, from 2,10,000 to 2,20,000, I don't think those incremental 10,000 counters will give us business. As opposed to the top, you know, 20,000 counters, how can I start extracting greater value, particularly with my urban and premium products per share?
Right. Then the metric to track for you will be the WD, right?
That's right. WD and our own, you know, portfolio mix, etc., the urban-rural mix, all of those metrics.
Okay. And are you seeing any improvement on that front as of yet?
So yeah, we saw some in the initial two quarters. Now last two quarters have been kind of flatlining. I think what we're also seeing is that growth is one aspect, but the cash collections have become weaker in the market. I'm not talking to us because they're largely linked to channel finance, but from retailers to distributors, just the cash flow has become, weaker. The liquidity in the system has dried up. The credit periods have elongated. I think these are all typical outcomes of, weaker markets. So when the market picks up, I think the cash needs to move much faster for that to pick up overall.
Right, understood.
That goes one of the comments I made, I think, in answer to the first question. It's the first time that we've seen a gap between primary and secondary sales. The secondary sales in Q3 have outstripped primary sales. But that lag is only built up, which means people are de-risking a little bit. But that's a good place to be in, because when people, start then moving away from this de-risk, approach, then primary sales should grow faster than secondary sales whenever that happens here.
Right, understood. And on fans, Anuj, let's say Q3 obviously had a higher view last year, but even on a 9-month basis has been, fairly soft. So any outlook on fan sales as you go ahead?
So on fans, to be honest, we stay confident. Fans and coolers are two areas where even in this year, 9 months, our primary research shows that we've had a marginal growth in market share by almost 1 percentage point. So if you look at an overall basis, I think we're trending well. I think Q4, again, you should see a further pickup, particularly on the premium fans. Q3 is typically people stock up, at least from us, a little more on sub-economy. Q4 is where we should see some pickup on premium. But overall, market share gains are something visible to us in our primary research.
Got it. And if you could just quantify on the gross margin front, what the impact of this additional schemes or discounting was, because given the fact that, we've been premiumizing at a decent clip, plus pricing benefits from lower commodity cost on a YOY basis, there should have been some improvement on the gross margin, right? You said 1.5%, but if you can just elaborate a little bit more on that, actually, why we're seeing a 5 percentage point gross margin impact YOY?
Team impact is as high as almost 3.5 to 4 percentage points, so that is hurting us. We started to take, signal a correction in that. The way we're doing that is from December, we started to take some price increases, though we've again passed some of that back on. But this is to start seeing that. Ultimately, we need to start also seeing price increases and the scheme will go down. The other thing now we started linking from Jan onwards, well, some of these are flatline schemes. Now some of these schemes are getting more and more linked to a volume expansion. So to us, now some of the schemes, while not all of it can be linked to volume expansion, we started splitting the schemes or the impact of these schemes between just general givebacks to give back for boosting or, supporting trade, to some of it is linked to overall growth. So we'll see how the market takes that. That is started from January.
Understood. Final question from me also was on the warranty cost. So what sort of recurring warranty costs will be seen in the quarter to come?
Next quarter will be the normalized warranty that we provide for based on the failure rates of the product. So there won't be an aberration like what we had this quarter. So it will be in the range of 5-6 crores.
Understood. So basically on the other costs, broadly it would be the number X of these 21 crores of incremental provision that you've made. That would be the fair run rate to assume going ahead.
Yeah, I didn't get that question.
No, I was saying on other expenses. So if I X out the warranty cost for Q3, the incremental provision that you made, So that number is the sustainable run rate on other expenses.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. And besides that, the A&P spend this quarter was a bit low. So that can add up a bit in Q4.
Okay. By how much? What the spends have been in this quarter and 9 months till now, you can share?
So this quarter has been about 2.8-2.9%. YTD has also been in the same range here.
Understood. And this is slightly lower versus last year?
It's about 1 percentage point lower than last year. Last year, as if you say this, Q3 was about 4.3%. because we had spends towards the Build for Life. But if you see on an annualized basis, about 1 percentage point lower.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, I had a question on the lighting business, right? So, we've seen this prolonged realization impact, right? So, A, when does this start to reverse? And then, you know, do you expect, say, next year, the industry was back to double-digit growth? Any frequent thoughts would be helpful, sir.
So, firstly, yes, you know, there has been softness in consumer lighting in general, and then the last couple of quarters, the price erosion that has been impacting lighting, consumer lighting business. That said, in this quarter, our performance consumer lighting has been flat at about 0%, which means we bucked the impact of the softness to make up for it in alternative ways. We are confident that, you know, two to four quarters out, we shall start seeing growth in consumer lighting. Our product range is fully in place now. Our go-to-market has been slightly slower than anticipated because of the softness in the marketplace. That said, along with the consulting firm that we've just engaged, we've embarked upon a 12-month project for actually expanding a go-to-market. I think first 6 months, phase one is more about more preliminary work, but therefore, I think post 6 months, we should start seeing the benefits of that project, which shall culminate in 12 months. So anywhere from 6 months to now to 12 months onwards, you should see an, you know, impact or benefit of our go-to-market project that we've initiated, and therefore, in turn, benefits on our revenue monetization there.
Okay. And sir, on the CAPEX side, I think you've done about 100 crore kind of CAPEX in this 9 months. And so incrementally, you know, what is the kind of run rate that, you know, you would be expecting? And is there a shift in mindset of kind of doing more things in-house, or any feature thoughts there, sir?
So most of these CAPEX are pertaining to the dies and molds that, you know, the new products that we have invested in, and not on the on the expansions of factories, etc. And this would continue for one more year, because we'll be launching more products under the next and also in the Bajaj categories. So we can expect about 40, 50 crores more CAPEX coming in this current next financial year.
Okay. And I mean, final question from me, you know, so we've seen a little bit of prolonged kind of down cycle here, right? But individually, say, you know, the four or five key categories that you operate in, do you think that growth for the next 4 or 5 years will be in high single digit, or do you think that there are certain categories which can even surprise us further from here? The reason for asking this question is that in certain categories like fans, we are seeing, say, penetration of close to about 90%, you know, so just your thoughts there, sir.
That's a good question, Dhruv. You know, I wish we could predict that precisely. That said, I think fans on a value basis should continue to grow despite the penetration levels being high because of an upgradation at an average ASP level for fans in the category across homes, number one. Number two, I think replacement cycles for fans should continue to come down over the next many years, because Indians typically have fans with replacement cycle as long as 10 years. That has to continue correct over a period of time. When the, and how the inflection point comes, we shall see. I think the bigger opportunity to my mind lies in the appliance space. While in the recent past, particularly kitchen has been weak, but I do think in the medium term, appliances, because of lower penetration as well as this movement towards higher ASP, should see a double trigger. You know, every cloud has a silver lining, as I say, so I know we've seen an elongated period of a weak market environment, but what that also does really is prevents a lot of entrants that were coming in. I do think, while, you know, we are, some of us are all facing the brunt of this, our ability to face the brunt of this is stronger or better than many of these other players. So from a 2-3 year perspective, I think, you know, some of the players, Bajaj for sure, will be left standing, being beneficiaries of this elongated high stress period.
So just one small question linked to your answer here. So Is it that competitive intensity currently is materially lower versus what it was 2 years back? Are you seeing that on the ground?
Of the competitive intensity. So I think the number of players that are starting to get attracted to this sector 2-3 years ago was very high. I think from a number of players' perspective, the intensity is slightly reducing. The nature of competitive intensity is more amongst the existing players, that there's a race to the bottom because of tactical measures like discounting, etc. That's really a desperation to sell. I think that cannot continue for long. So the players, as they start reducing, you know, when there's a drive towards consolidation, then automatically some of this pricing irrationality also goes away. So the markets come back. I think what you should be left with is a more consolidated market, fewer stronger players, and with a better pricing strategy and rational behavior. So I'm differentiating between the types of competitive intensity.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for the elaborate answers and all the best ahead.
You know, I just want to call out, take this opportunity to address what I spoke in the opening comments, that to us, we are clearly here as long-term players. We are here to actually maximize over the next 5-7 years. And therefore, we are being very clear on our brand and product. And we are seeing, I'm saying this with, you know, complete conviction, that our brand scores are clearly showing sharp uptick across, you know, most of our product categories. And this brand architecture, house of brands approach that we unveiled, we've shared with all of you. We're starting to see where the positioning of the brands, particularly Bajaj as a durable brand, is starting to get recognized. Having said that, these are not short-term changes. These are changes that take time to actually start moving the needle, where the move, as the needle moves over the next 2-3 years, as we mature in these claims and, you know, perception in the marketplace. And that's why we've called out even something like the Good Design Award. As we start getting recognized for better products, better quality products, better aesthetic products, etc., that pricing power, brand salience, will hold us in very good stead over the next 3 to 5 years. What we've not put in the deck is also quality. You know, we measure COPQ, which is our quality metrics. That is improving drastically. I think all of these, this is designed to actually help us stand out in the next 3 to 5 years. I don't want to name competition, but we are seeing inverse scores for some of the competition. I think in the short term, that is helping them. For the long run, you know, I think that will start hurting them as a brand and as products as these brand scores continue to dip for them. Moderator, you can go to the next person in the call.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chaitanya Panchamatya from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
So, thanks for the opportunity. I want to ask you that what is the in-house manufacturing right now? What percentage of total manufacturing is in-house? And what is your target for FY25 or going ahead?
Percentage of in-house.
So, once they give you the figure. Percent of in-house manufacturing right now is about 20%, 80% outsourced. We don't have a specific target, but I think that should, if we're talking FY25, that should remain at a max of 25%.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi Anuj, good evening. You've talked about you know, demand at length. You know, I just want to understand one aspect. We do realize, you know, that the demand is not as badly impacted, you know, at the premium products. You know, and I think you did come, you know, when you commented on the growth of mid-single digit for Morphe Richard, I think that is just supporting that argument. You know, that at the premium end of the product, the demand is not as badly impacted. So what is your thought on, I mean, and you also indicated, you know, that your premium shift has been about 6%. So I think, I would think, at least in your fans, your premium portfolio should be about 25-26%. How do you tackle this separately? You know, how do you deal with premium basket and how do you deal with mass market basket, especially in the light of the next brand also that you have launched? So that's the first question.
So Rahul, you know, I think all valid points, and therefore we are starting to see, you know, historically our indexing has almost been 95%+ non-premium. So as we start making that shift, I think it's a gradual shift, and we're starting to see that in our portfolio, leading with fans, but also with mixer grinders, water heaters, etc. Portfolio mix is improving, we're seeing that. While Morphe Richards will lead that at the top end, MorphiRich is a small contributor there. I think that will continue to grow even in this weak market as we're seeing. But for us, the bigger step up will also come from Bajaj itself premiumizing, which we're starting to see. So the fans shift that I spoke to you was led by Bajaj, but also the water heaters, mixer grinders, etc. is happening in Bajaj here. Coming to next, I think next for us is a 3 to 5 year strategy, because I think going into long-term future, fans will remain a key category for us. And we do think it's a category, given its size and scale, that merits us having two brands in that category. And next will just help us accelerate that shift of gaining share in the premium segment. This year, you know, as we've shared in the deck, we've just launched, opened it up to trade. We'll see what the response of trade this year is, but it's not a single year focus for us. That will continue to grow going forward also.
I think you all also talked about, you know, looking at additional capex of what, 40 to 50 crore rupees in molds. So this is going to be across MorphiRichards, Mex and Bajaj, or you're going to be focusing more MorphiRichards for a particular type of business and Mex only at one fans. Can you just clarify that?
So this capex across the company, across brands, that said, actually MorphiRichards has very less tooling in molds, so that tends to be bought out products more. If you look at the nature of products, and we showcase some of that in the deck this quarter, last quarter, these are not high volume products. So these are typically not, you know, exclusive products to us, but these are, you know, as a, it's more curation as a brand that we're doing. These are typically third party products. A lot of the innovation exclusive products to us still lie under Bajaj, but also in the next. So all this capex, tooling, etc., that will happen in Bajaj and next, and that's where you see higher volume. So we are optimizing that across these different brands and categories.
My last question is on the balance sheet. You know, the company has no debt, decent cash flow. You know, I think even in this particular quarter, you would have done about 100 crores of free cash. So your interest cost is about 20 crore rupees. And can you just help break this into, you know, vendor financing and others, and, you know, if there are any major elements in that other, you know, so we know how to model this going ahead. Thank you.
Yeah. Out of the 20 crores, about 11 crores is on the channel financing. We use about 800 crores of channel financing limits, and this 11 crores is pertaining to that. Apart from that, because of the lease accounting that we do for all our warehouses, the new office that we have taken, etc. So that for the lease account, the finance liability is about 5 crores. And apart from that, there are some interest on account of the taxes, GST, etc., which was under appeal. So those were there. So these are the, you know, these are the breakup of the interest.
I did not.
One point I'll add on this, you know, you're seeing interest costs under the finance cost line, but we also have any interest gain or treasury income that comes in other income.
Yeah.
So going forward, as you know, cash balance on the balance sheet keeps building out, while finance costs the line will stay, it will not net out there, but on a cumulative basis, it will start becoming a net surplus for us.
Okay, I did not get the lease number. You know, you talked about 11 crore being channel financing. What is the lease number?
Lease is about 5 crores.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. The first is related to the warranty. That's the reassessed of warranty. Can you give some more color on that and exact number? Because PPT is saying 21 crore and press release saying 23 crore. And also, if you can give some more color on this, like what exactly the change and this cost has actually arisen.
Yeah, sure. So 23 crores is at a company level, 21 crores is for consumer business, and 2 crores for the lighting business. So that's the breakup. And as I mentioned, see, this product was new to the industry. I mean, we were the first one to introduce the manufacturing warranty insurance. So the premium accounting, we are not very clear. I mean, even the auditors had a view. We had a view. And based on that, we used to amortize the insurance premium over the period of the warranty. So, for example, if you are giving a 2 years warranty, that premium used to be amortized over the 24 months. Now, most of our products are under the insurance. So now the outflow on the premium and the warranty is almost equal today. And at this stage, we had revisited this to see whether this accounting is proper or not. And then we found that there is a huge gap coming in between the premium that we are paying and the actual expenses that we are incurring. To correct that, we said that we'll discontinue the process of amortizing this premium and charge it off upfront. So this 21 crores is the difference of that. From next month onwards, it will be a normal impact that will come in.
Great, thank you for that. And the second question is related to the, as you had mentioned earlier in the call about the scheme linked to the volume expansion has impacted the gross margin. So can you elaborate more on that, like more discounts you are giving to push the volume? Is that the way to look at why the gross margin impacted?
I'm not sure I fully followed your question, but let me try and address it anyway. So first, I'll just pick it up. Our underlying gross margins are improving because our COGS have improved slightly, but also because our portfolio mix has improved towards premium products. So our gross margin is slightly expanded if you go by our ASP, MOP, DLP, etc. Okay. That said, no, we have certain schemes running across categories for our, you know, channels, etc. So no, we have a month-end credit or, you know, payback to them of certain commissions, incentives. So when you net that out, that is the one that is, you know, taking away. And that's the various forms of discounting schemes. That is adding up to almost 3 to 4 percentage points. But without that, our actual gross margin expanded by 1.5%. So that's the overall performance in the last couple of quarters, including this quarter three. The linkage to volume that we said, we are tinkering around the schemes to see how we can mitigate the impact of some of this stuff. So there are two measures that we've done for that. One is now we further started, you know, signaling price increase, because I think prices not increase adequately, not just by us, but by industry also. So we have since last couple of months started signaling price increase to the market. But while in the initial stages, also passing that back through discounts, but at some points we'll pull back those discounts to actually give full effect to the price increase. The second aspect that we spoke or I mentioned earlier is some of these schemes that were not linked to volume growth. We've now started linking these schemes to volume growth to try and see if we can get an operating leverage benefit of the scheme also, and therefore negate some of the discount at an EBIT level. That said, I think these are all tactical measures that we are trying to optimize and balance to, you know, balance between top line, market share, defense, and bottom line. I think the real, you know, how these will really fall away is when we start moving against these headwinds and demand comes back. Then I think we'll all stop, you know, having some of these measures in place.
Okay, great. Thank you. And lastly, on your advertisement, what is the normal, you know, as a percentage of sales we can consider?
So right now we're operating at about just under 3%. So for the near term, you can consider that. I think when we start seeing more buoyancy, we would like to go up to 4% odd. But right now we do need to balance. When we're not seeing great ROI on the advertisement with muted demand, then we don't want to burn cash. Yeah. Just on the earlier comment, on the price increase that I mentioned, our price increase in fans between December and Jan has been about 2.5%.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarang from Entris Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My question is related to Morphe Richards. Just wanted to know a couple of things over here. Like, how big is the brand for us? And like you mentioned that the growth rate in MR is in single digit. My question is, with expected turnaround in sentiments and demand coming back, you know, what can be the expected growth rate going forward? And also on the profitability front, if you can throw some color on how MR is doing. And lastly, how well penetrated is MR, given that we have already we are already a well established player when it comes to distribution network? So these are my questions related to Morphe Richards. Thank you so much.
So, you know, firstly on MR, you're now starting to see growth rate. We had a degrowth happening. If you take go back 2 quarters, before that we had degrowth, not because premium segment was degrowing, but because we did not have a product roadmap in place. This is something I've spoken in the past, that, you know, post our signing of the long-term licensing deal is when we started working a long-term product roadmap. And now since the last 2 quarters, you're starting to see us introduce new products, you know, that are unique to Morphe Richards and distinct and separate from Bajaj. This is also a function, or, you know, part of the journey of repositioning Morphe Richards as an aspirational lifestyle brand. So premium is just a price point. But if you look at the nature of products, now we're starting to clearly have very differentiated products in Morphe Richards, whether it be coffee maker, garment steamers, air fryers, digital toasters, and so on and so forth, personal grooming, etc. So these are distinct from a portfolio as a company that we have under any other brand. Now you're starting to see, you know, the growth in Morphe Richards. I think going forward, the growth rate or percentage will only pick up in Morphe Richards, both as the market evolves, but also as the products, you know, start coming out more and more of these products, we do expect that to happen, showcase some of these products there. In terms of penetration, from an India perspective, Morphe Richards, you know, operates in the segment, if you cut that into low single-digit penetration, but as that part of India grows, I think that penetration level and growth rate should stay healthy, if that answers your question.
Thank you so much.
If the question on penetration was more geographic in nature, I think Morphe will remain, or at least in the near future, our focus in Morphe will remain towards the top 50 cities of India. So while it's open through certain channels, particularly online, to anybody anywhere in India, but from a, you know, go-to-market focus, I think top 50 cities is what makes sense for us.
Okay, okay. Any color on the channel mix, if you can provide, for Morphe Richards?
So I think Morphe is a flip of the rest of Bajaj. So Morphe is about 60%+ on alternate channels and about between 30-40% on general trade here. Bajaj is exactly the other way around here.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Rawat from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to understand what has been the volume growth this time around in the lighting segment, because considering that there's been a price erosion, still you managed to stay flat YOY. So just wanted to understand on that front.
No, so volume growth also, if you look at our product mix, has been relatively flat. Why we've, despite price erosion, our revenue is also flat, because our ASPs have gone up because of portfolio premiumization. So it's not volume growth that is compensated, but it's portfolio premiumization that's compensated for the price erosion.
So is it fair to assume that volume growth has also been flat YOY?
That's
both
right.
Volume and value.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I had one question. This, you mentioned in the beginning that, you know, we are moving towards non-exclusive distributors, etc. So where are we in that journey? And if you can share, you know, initial signs, you know, what kind of results you would have seen in some categories, etc.
So, Chirag, as I said, you know, earlier in the call also, we've added about 100 distributors in the last 1 year. From 640 or 650 to about 740 right now. So that's part of, some of these are because of the move towards non-exclusive, etc. That said, I think the growth or expansion in terms of appointment of these distributors has been slower than we expected. I'll come to the reasons. And second, meanwhile, we appointed distributors, their investments in putting feet on street or DSOs or pushing in the market has been lower or slower than we expected. I think both are a result of a weaker market, where they are also a little risk averse right now, not either, you know, taking those bets or investments as they would in a buoyant market, or, you know, they're willing to take those investments. The earlier point that I made, where credit cycles in the market have elongated, their own paybacks from retail has slowed down. Therefore, they are also getting pinched right now. So, you know, if the market had been more buoyant, we would have seen a further expansion of our distributor count, but also further feet on street from these distributors. So I think that GTM has been slower because of these factors that I mentioned.
And how are we implementing it, category by category, city by city, state by state? How are we implementing it?
I'm not sure what the question means. How are we implementing meaning?
I mean, it's a big rejig, right, on the overall GTM side. So
yes.
You are category by category, extracting out one category and appointing new distributor. You are picking particular geography and, you know, just distributing those categories amongst different distributors. How you are taking?
So I think there are two, three factors. Firstly, if you look at all our current distributors and current business, a clear skews between which distributors focus on which category and which is not doing justice to a particular category for maybe various reasons, either their interest or potential or, you know, their affinity or ability, etc. So that's first factor where we see a clear skew where there's, we see, let's say, an opportunity in fans where the distributors focus on appliances. Then that merits a discussion on should fans continue the distributor or move to a separate distributor. That's point of factor one. Factor two is where we ourselves are, let's say, in fans or other categories, you know, growing something. Let's say Nirlep is a good example, or Morphe Richards, where we're growing. We feel the need to now pick up that business, but we map the beat plan of that distributor. If the beat plan of the distributor is skewed to a certain number of counters, which we think for Nirlep requires a different kind of counters, then again, either that distributor has to be willing to actually invest in more DSOs to change or create a new beat plan for Nirlep, or we need a separate distributor for Nidlay. Similarly, for Morphe Richards or NYX as we go forward. Therefore, we're also mapping into the future as to what our product categories, brands are, and what is the beat plan required for that. So it's a mix of both. What is it that they currently, our data is showing, they're skewed towards where we feel there's a loss of opportunity, or going forward into the future where we feel proactively need a separate approach, and is the distributor right or able or willing to do that. Third aspect in all of this really is actual scoring and performance of these distributors, each of their, you know, fundamental investment appetites, etc., may be constrained. It may not match our expansion. So I think we put all of these three factors. That's what defines our go-to-market structure. That's the plan or the theory. In execution, when you do some changes like this, you can't come at it hard at one go across all India because there is a impact of disruption. So some of those changes are by design calibrated, so that both the business of trade and the business of us is not disrupted in a negative manner, but it's done in a more smooth manner. This is something we've been doing. For example, if you look at lighting, we started this journey almost 18 months ago when we carved out lighting. So unlike the earlier implementation of TOC or RREP, where it was a very harsh implementation that had a stop-start mode, this is something we've been doing since the last 18 months in a more calibrated manner. We have an example of that is fans, where you've seen us have growth in fans business also by introducing wholesalers and other segments that we're not operating earlier. We've done that in a manner without really disrupting business on an overnight basis. So the execution is far more calibrated. The strategic structural approach is more one time where we're clear what we want to do.
Fair point. But in your opinion, you know, how much time it might, you know, take to, you know, 80-20.
So it will continue over the next 18 months, we feel. So this is not, and it's not designed to cater to now, but this is designed to cater to our next 5 year, what we're to do. So over the next 18 months, we will keep rejigging on our go-to-market and distribution so that if you look at out 3 to 5 years out, this distribution structure can cater to that. Again, there are different modules in that. So like I only called out one module, which is on consumer lighting, we're engaging a consumer, sorry, consulting firm, where we're actually approaching that in a certain, you know, project level basis where we're doing that. Similarly for NYX and Nirlep, we are right now actually doing that, you know, almost a clean slate greenfield basis. But for existing Bajaj and Morphe is where we're actually doing that in a far more calibrated manner.
And anything material you would like to call out on Nirlep? Because, you know, a lot of NPDs we have mentioned in the presentation on cooktop. So anything meaningful happening there? Can we expect?
The launch has slower than anticipated. We expected Q3 launch to have happened. It did not happen for various operational reasons. Q4 we've launched, but this is not a Pan India launch right now. We're testing it in Maharashtra and East, which is West Bengal and parts of Odisha right now. We're going to see how that goes before we expand that in the coming fiscal year.
Got it. And just what would be our networking capital days today?
Net working capital days is close to 22-23 days.
Versus same time last year in March 23.
So we need to calculate that. So we'll come back later with that figure.
No problem. And just lastly, hypothetically, you know, if we start growing double digit from next year, is it you know, possible to achieve this 9-10% margin guidance in next 1 or 2 years, or you would like to recalibrate, you know, given the situation?
If we grow double digits, in 2 years it is possible.
Okay. Thank you, Anand.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Well, so thank you very much once again for joining us. I think we addressed all our questions. All I'll say in end is that, you know, we stay firm on our conviction on a strategic roadmap, which really to us, you know, internally our brand scores and product scores that we're seeing is telling us that we're on the right path. We're not taking shortcuts. We're not compromising on product quality. We're not compromising the brand. While we are taking certain tactical calls on sales, but I'd rather take tactical calls on sales and discounting while holding firm on a proposition that we're offering to consumers. I think that will hold us in good stead over the medium term. We are seeing competition take certain irrational calls, not just on pricing, but actually on product quality, etc. You know, I think there is different ways to achieve margin. You know, we are not tempted to follow that course. We will stay the course in what we're doing. With that said, you know, we are confident about also the anecdotal feedback that we're getting on our products, etc. And I think if that continues on a consistent basis, then I do believe that our monetization and all of this will also improve, our pricing power will improve. That remains our core thesis as we go forward. Thank you once again, and good evening.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.